Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Has led me to preach about the cross up to Passover, Easter, and to help you understand truth. The truth that at the cross is a great exchange. It's the great exchange. We should never get tired of the cross, because at the cross, Jesus accomplished everything you'll ever need. Everything you'll ever need was accomplished at the cross. And so much of the cross we only look at as the place where our sins were forgiven, and yet there's so much more. And I've prayed already that Lord would open your eyes, and Lord would give me utterance to say things I haven't even prepared to say, and give you a vision and insight and understanding that there's no way you could ever have had except it be for the Lord. So that's already happening. I'm expecting that. I'm telling you up front, I'm expecting today there will be salvations. People will be saved to be born again from above. There will be healings today. There'll be no question. There will be healings today. There has to be. There will be miracles. There will be miracles, and there will be signs, and there will be wonders if God's people expect it. And that's not hype. That's the word of God. Mark 16:20, God says he co-labors with us to confirm his word with miracles and signs. Just to confirm his word. And many times God does healings and signs and wonders, not for show, it's not a circus, but because people are so carnal, they're so fleshly, they sometimes need to see a miracle before their eyes to come into faith, to be saved. So I thank you, Father, for the divine great exchange that takes place at the cross. And I thank you for utterance given to me that I may make known the mystery of the gospel. I thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for what you're doing. Hebrews 2:13 says, how shall we escape? Speaking to believers, how shall we, believers, escape? If we neglect, everybody say neglect, so great a salvation. Not ignore it. Neglect it. In other words, you don't pick up everything you're supposed to pick up. You don't receive all that God has intended for you to receive in this great salvation. The word salvation is the word soterio. Many times it's translated the word sozo in the Greek, which means not just the forgiveness of sins, but it also means the deliverance from demonic harassment. It also means the healing of sicknesses and diseases. It's an all-encompassing word. It's a salvation. It's a deliverance from the destruction of the devil for what you need. It's in that word. Salvation. What do you need to be saved from today? If you're already born again, you're saved from sin. Are you being emotionally tormented? You need to be saved from that. That's available. Are you suffering in your body? Physical ailments and sicknesses and diseases. The doctor has given you a limited amount of time to live. Then you need to receive the salvation of a good report, the report of the Lord, you see. You need help with finances. You see, there's no way that you're going to be able to make it. It just doesn't add up when you do the figures and on paper. There's just no way that you're going to see how you're going to make it. Then you need salvation, deliverance, provision. It's all in this word, salvation. But we can neglect it and not receive all that God intends for us to receive. The great exchange, some reform, and first of all, it is our sins for his righteousness. Now, that's how you get saved. You have to know that much. He became sin who knew no sin. For us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. But in addition to that, even in the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, we exchange our sicknesses and our disease for His healing. And that's the great mystery for most people. Most people can get the part, well, Jesus hung on the cross to pay for my sins, yes. But do you know what your sins did? And do you know what your sins caused? This remedy for our sins can also take care of sicknesses and disease, because sin is the cause of sickness and disease. God didn't create sickness. But it's something that's got to be unveiled before your eyes. Salvation has been obtained. It's already been obtained. The whole world could be saved if they wanted to be. For God so loved the whole world that He gave His Son. So it's available. Salvation has been obtained for us by Jesus at the cross. He said, "It is finished." Do we believe it? Oh, it can't be that easy. It is. The hard part was done by Jesus, because none of us could have done it. But we have to exercise faith, and God gives to us a measure of faith, the faith that we need for the size of the mountain that we're facing. He gives us the measure of faith for we need for the mountains that we're facing. He gives us that faith as a gift to be able to believe God and trust God and confide in God and face this thing until that mountain moves. He gives us that. Everything we need for life and godliness has been, past tense, provided through the true knowledge of Him, Jesus, who called us to His own glory and excellence. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Everything you'll ever need in this life, every problem, every trial, every burden, every mountain you'll ever face, God has already equipped you and given to you every tool, everything you'll ever need to walk through this thing, to go over this thing, to move this thing. He's made you more than a conqueror. But how shall we escape the trials and the burdens and the problems and the sickness and the disease and the lack of provision in this life if we neglect this great salvation that God accomplished in His Son on the cross? It's an insult to God to look at your lack and look at your need and say, God's not providing for me. He provided everything in His Son who hung on the cross. And part of our journey in this life, we all have trials and burdens and things that we don't understand. And it's part of our journey on this earth to discover the truth and the revelation of the cross and what Jesus has done for us. It's to discover it for ourselves. But you can say amen to a message like this. You can hear it. You can hear it preached. You can be awed by it. You can say, oh, that was good. And I liked what I heard. And still it not benefit you or profit your life. Why? Even believers, I'm talking about people who are born again, who have the Spirit, you can still hear the Word and not profit from it. Right here's the scripture, Hebrews 4:2, for indeed, we have had, past tense, the good news preached to us, just as they also, he's referring to the children of Israel who never made it into the promised land. We've had it preached to us, just as they had. But the word preached that they heard, it didn't profit them. Why? Because it wasn't united by faith in those who heard it. They didn't have any expectancy. It wasn't united by faith. I'm giving you the words of God. These are not my words. This is out of your Bible. I'm giving you the words of life, the words of God who spoke creation into existence, who has given you the breath of life. I'm speaking His words to you. And all you have to do to profit with this word today is to mix the faith that God has given you with that word. And there you go. You're ready for anything. I can handle anything. I can deal with it. I have more than enough grace for whatever I'm going to face. Are you with me? Now I know, and see, we're supposed to profit. Now I know the IRS has declared we are a nonprofit organization. But I'm declaring to you, according to the Word of God, you are to profit. Every time you come to church, even if you're lost and not born again, you're profiting by being here. Just being in the atmosphere. The little babies in the nursery are profiting by being here. And if you are with child, expecting, that child within you is profiting right now by being in the atmosphere that you brought that child with. In fact, that's what the Lord told me. He said, everyone who's a believer is expecting. I'm pregnant with promises. I'm pregnant with the Word. I'm pregnant with rhemas that He's given me. I'm pregnant with what He's showed me, what He's spoken to me. I'm pregnant with dreams and visions. I'm expecting. And a woman who is great with child and has her belly right out to here, and you know that she's expecting, and then she says, well, no, I'm not expecting. She's in denial. It's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you ahead of time so you know ahead of time. Signs, wonders, miracles, healings are going to happen. How many are expecting in here today? How many of you just put your hand on your womb? We don't have a womb, but I mean, if you're a man, you don't have a womb. Put your hand on your belly. I'm expecting. Come on, I'm serious. I'm expecting. God, I'm expecting. Out of my belly will flow rivers of living water. I'm expecting God. I'm expecting. You didn't save me to keep me here to make me comfortable. You saved me here to do great things with you, Lord, to co-labor with you. You will do miracles, signs, and wonders. I do believe that. I go ahead and stake my reputation, which doesn't mean much, my reputation on it. Now, God, it's your reputation that I'm speaking about. My expectation is not of me. My expectation is of you. This week, while I was preparing this message, I tell you, I go on these little prayer walks with God around my neighborhood. Well, this happened again this week. I went in a walk with God, and after I was finished talking, I'm learning to finish talking sooner because God talks to me after I shut up. It's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. I can explain it to you because you'll know. You'll believe. I tell somebody else who's not a believer, think you're just crazy. But as I came to this, I've done talking, done praying. I said, now, God, I'm going to be like Habakkuk. I'm going to get on my watch, and I'm going to stand, and I'm going to see what you're saying to me. So I'm alert. I'm looking. I'm expecting God is going to communicate to me some way. I don't care how He does it. That's up to Him. And He does it with me. Maybe a little, probably like you too. He'll highlight something. I just happen to notice something more than I would normally notice it. And I noticed this sign about a few minutes later after I quit talking. I noticed this sign. It just quickened to me. End of school zone. I know what that means. I was walking past the elementary school. You're going to leave the elementary. It's time to, you're ending the school. Your church and you yourself and the church, you're on a journey, and it's the end of the school zone. We always learn all of our life. I understand that. But you leave the elementary things. See? And so I just kept on walking, and I didn't hear or see anything that was quickened to me. I was looking. And then later on, after quite some time, I came to a sign that said, road closed ahead. And about the moment I ask a question in my mind, God gives me the answer before I even finish asking the question. There are things that are about to come to a close. And then I notice what road I was walking on. Pine Ridge Dairy Road. Dairy. Milk. Huh. You're out of the school zone. You're getting coming off of the milk, and you're going to lead this church to get off the milk and onto the word. Now, I understand there's always going to be people that need the milk, but it's time for the meat. My people have to grow up, and they need the strong meat of my word. And when you get the meat of the word, you don't eat meat like you do drinking milk. When you get meat in your mouth, you have to chew on it for a while. You have to meditate on it for a while. You have to ponder it for a while. You got to walk around and talk with God about this. God, this is meat in my mouth. I can't swallow this meat like it is right now. I don't understand it. I can't grasp it. So I've got to meditate on this word. I've got to chew on this word, God, to get all the nourishment out of it. I'm going to have to take the time to mature. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. You are here for such a time as this. It's not an accident. And the meat is coming. That's why every Wednesday night, it's healing and then the application of it by faith. We don't just talk about the word. We do the word. It's the time for meat for you. It's time to get out of the elementary. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age. Even to those who by reason of their senses exercise those senses to discern between good and what is evil. This is what God wants. So back to the cross. We go to the cross and we're just going to park ourselves at the cross. And we're just going to, God, teach me. There's a lot more there than I've ever realized. Paul, who was probably one of the most brilliant men who ever lived, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, who would be equivalent of having 3 or 4 PhDs today. He was so brilliant, he was probably difficult to talk to. Peter considered he was kind of difficult to talk to because of he was so brilliant, you know. And some people thought he was crazy because he was so brilliant. He was just up on a much higher level in intelligence than most of us. And Paul himself wrote, he said, "My brethren, I confess I don't know anything. Anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's just blown me away. I don't know anything. Are you with me, church? I don't know anything but to preach Christ crucified and Him resurrected. Because in that is everything that there is or will be. 2,000 years ago, preacher, you're talking about something that's a long time ago. Well, not according to God. And just write this scripture down. You can look it up later. Just write it down. Hebrews 9:14. Hebrews 9:14 says, "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God." Now, you can chew on that later. You can't chew on it right now because I got more to give you. 2,000 years ago, the blood of Jesus was shed on the cross. But according to God's word, Jesus in the eternal Spirit offered himself. And in eternity, which exists outside of time, there is no age. Wouldn't it be great to be able to step out into eternity right now and say, "Ooh, Lord." You don't age. In time, you age. But outside of time, there is no age. This meaning that the blood of Jesus that was shed 2,000 years ago didn't age. It's not old. It's not dried up. It's as fresh today as it was then. It's as powerful as it was then as it is today. Are you with me? It's fresh. It's fresh. It has not aged. Now hang on to that and we'll come back in a moment. So by faith, you go to the cross and you make a divine exchange. Two things happen. Number one, the cross does something in you. Everybody say, "In me." The cross does something in me, and then the cross does something for me. The first exchange I talked about already at length, and I'm going to quickly go through it, but to get to the second one. The first great exchange when you go to the cross is He took my punishment. He took my punishment. And everything with it, my guilt and my shame, my embarrassment, my humiliation, my feeling of worthlessness, my feelings of failure. He took my punishment. And I receive as a free gift his complete pardon. The way God forgives, it's no more. Remember last week, Day of Atonement, there was a covering. This is not just an atonement. This is the removal of all your sins as far as the east is from the west. And God does not see any sin, past, present, or future. You say, Pastor, how could that be? You just need to go sit at the cross for a while. Because that's a mystery. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, Isaiah prophesied. The punishment of our peace, so we could have peace with God right now, was upon him. And Isaiah prophesied this 700 years before Christ was born on the earth. Of course, Christ always existed in the eternal spirit, but before he became born of the Virgin Mary. 700 years, Isaiah saw this. God showed him the chastisement, the punishment for our sins, so that we could have peace with God, was upon this one that God has already declared. He was slain before the foundation of the world. Try to absorb that one. In God's mind, it already happened. And it says in Isaiah 53, it says, the Lord was pleased to crush him. The Lord was pleased to crush Jesus, putting him to grief. If he himself would render himself a guilt offering, he would bear, he would carry their iniquities. There's iniquities, there's trespasses, there's sins. Sin is missing the mark. Trespassing is crossing over. Iniquities is self-willed sin. I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. He will bear their iniquities. Covers it all. In Isaiah 53:12, yet he himself bore the sin of man and interceded for the transgressors. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, I've already shared, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. How righteous is the righteousness of God? There is no sin. So the great exchange, you have to understand this. You have to understand this to be saved. At the moment of salvation, you're making a great exchange. All your sin, past, present, and even future, was on the cross. In the eyes of God, Jesus Christ was sent to take the sin of the world. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of God, that taketh away, come on church, the sin of the world. Ho, ho. In Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of his cross. I have peace with God today. I'll have peace with God tomorrow. I'll have peace with God every day of my life and on into eternity because of the blood of the cross. It never aged. It never got old. It has already taken care of everything that's come between God and I. There is no obstacle between God and I. There is nothing between God and I. It's all been removed through the blood of his cross. And I have sweet peace, sweet shalom. Not because of my performance. Not because I'm a preacher. Not because I'm not sinning at the moment. I have sweet peace with him because of the blood of the cross. Don't you ever exalt yourself to think, well, I'm not sinning today, so God must be pleased with me. That did not make you right with God. It was the blood of the cross. There was only one way for man to be made right with God. There was only one cure for this thing called sin. There was only one remedy, and God himself paid that remedy. He became flesh and dwelt among us, and he went to the cross willingly. No man took his life. He laid down his life because he loved the world that much. Oh, glory. I don't claim to know anything. Jesus Christ and him crucified, the Messiah, God himself in flesh, hanging on the cross. A wonder of wonders. Never get over it. In awe. So salvation includes the forgiveness of your sins, past, present, and future. Jesus has already obtained that. Already. Do you understand? person today, whoever I'm talking to that's not been born again, or you're not sure you're born again. Listen, if you're not sure you're born again, you're not born again because you're in doubt. Jesus has already paid the price for you. And then he's given you the faith today to say, yes, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved in your whole house. Watch this, your whole household be saved. If you're expecting, you can come and get saved right now. Past, present, future, sins done. Oh, yes, absolutely. But unbelief keeps you from receiving what God's already given. God's already given it. He's not going to crucify his son again. He's already given it. You have been given the faith to go up and make the great exchange. My sin for your righteousness. My guilt and shame for your peace at the cross. Second great exchange, quickly. This is where it gets meaty. The exchange of your sicknesses and diseases for his healing. That's the second great exchange. At the same time that Jesus bore our sin, he also bore our sicknesses and diseases for our body. When you go to the communion table, the people offer to you, they say, the body of Christ broken for you. You could say the body of Christ broken for you for your healing. The blood of Christ given for the remission of all your sins. And not by partaking of those elements do you receive it. Don't think that you can just come up here and take a cracker and take some juice and get saved. No, you get saved by faith through grace and what Jesus did on the cross. And that's just a reminder. When you go to the communion table, it's a reminder. He has already done it all. And by faith I go and I receive my healing. By faith I go, I receive this great salvation and all that it encompasses. First of all, we have to ask, where did sickness and disease come from? God did not create it. The very first mention of any type of sickness or weakness is in the form of pain. Genesis 3:16, when God said, Eve, you're going to have pain in childbirth. How many women know what I'm talking about? You're going to have pain. In the Hebrew, literally, it meant sorrow or hard labor. You got to keep in mind, this was not God's original plan for birth. Imagine that God was going to allow women to be able to give birth to a child without having pain or sorrow or hard labor. Wouldn't that have been great? That was God's original intention. But sin, because of sin, there became with it a curse. The ground was cursed. There never was thorns and thistles in the ground, sticker burrs and all that stuff until the curse. That's why Jesus wore the crown of thorns representing the curse. He took our curse. Sin brought with it a curse. Deuteronomy chapter 28 makes it clear. All this curse is sicknesses and disease and pain. But God's already, I'm saying he's already, are you listening? He's already provided a remedy. Just like he provided a remedy for sin, he has provided a remedy for sickness, illness, and disease. I know you got questions, but hang on. Old Testament, the children of Israel, living in between Egypt and the promised land. God is trying to reveal himself to him, what he's really like, because man often, most often, has a very distorted and wrong view of God. And the children of Israel, God says they're stubborn and they're stiff-necked. He told Moses one time, let me just wipe them out and start over with you. And Moses begged. He showed he had a true shepherd's heart. He interceded for the people. That's what God wanted to happen. The scripture says they became impatient because of the journey. Don't become impatient because of your journey. Well, if you only knew what I had to go through, if you only knew this sickness I'm dealing with, if I had to wake up every day with aches and pains, if you only knew, I know, hang on. Don't become impatient because of your journey. Stay in faith. Keep believing. Keep confessing. We'll talk more about that on Wednesday nights. But here's the children of Israel. They're complaining. They spoke against God. When you're murmuring and you're complaining and when you're being negative, you're speaking against God, who is your provider. And God sent fiery serpents. It's in your Bible. So that many died. Sin has consequences. And the longer you stay in it, the greater the consequences. Moses interceded and God provided a remedy. And the remedy was this. God said, I want you to get bronze. Bronze is a symbol of judgment in the Bible. And in the tabernacle, so forth, bronze. And so he said, I want you to make a bronze standard, a pole. And upon that pole, I want you to fashion or create a serpent upon that pole. As if to say that serpent and the cause of that serpent has been judged by God. And I want you to hold it up like the cross. Hold it up before the people. And anyone who looks at that bronze judged serpent will be saved. Anyone who's bitten by that snake will be healed. You think that's so easy? Everybody would do that. The medical symbol that you often see today, the medical symbol that you see on the side of ambulances and doctors, that's where that comes from. It's a fashion of like that. If you just believe. So the very cause of the sickness that came as a result of your unbelief and sin and murmuring and complaining against God has been judged, God said. This is Old Testament. And then we fast forward to the New Testament. And in that context of the most famous scripture in all the whole world, everybody knows it. You ask a Muslim, he'll know this scripture. You ask an atheist, he'll know this scripture. You know, John 3:16, they know that scripture. But in the context of that, in two verses above it, it says, Jesus himself speaking, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he's referring back to that incident, even so, or in like manner, must the Son of Man, that's the name that Jesus often used for himself, speaking of when divinity became humanity, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life, the life that God wants you to have, which means everything you'll ever need. How does this relate to sickness and disease? It was prophesied 700-800 years before Christ's incarnation, what the Messiah's death on the cross would do. In Isaiah 53, look closely. Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Now, the word bore means to lift and carry away. Say lift, carry away. Because I make sure you pay attention. This is too important. So, this is what the Messiah was going to do. And then those words, the word griefs, when you look it up in the Hebrew, it's very clear. It's the word sicknesses, disease, and grief. And the word sorrows is the word for pain. And it's literally saying, prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus came, that the Messiah himself would carry, would lift off of us and carry off of us sickness and disease and pain. Oh, come on. If you don't have expectancy, you won't have it. This is the word of God. It's not something I've come up with. Remember last week I shared with you about the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. On that day, what the priest, the high priest would do, they would bring two male lambs, or they called them goats. They would bring them in to the priest. And on one, the priest would lay his hands and he would confess the sins of the people. I mean, I can't imagine trying to confess all the sins of the people. He would confess them. The other lamb would be taken and his throat would be slit. Blood would be poured out. Because remember, there had to be an atonement, a covering for sin. But they had to do it every year because it was only a temporary covering. The blood of goats and bulls does not take away sin. And so that blood would be taken into the Holy of Holies and be sprinkled as a covering. And then the one lamb or goat, we'd say, that had the priest laid his hands on, he was called a scapegoat. Are you listening? They would take that goat, wrap a cord around his neck, take him out into the wilderness, never to be seen again, away from everybody. They were illustrating what was yet to come. They were just showing in a picture and a type and a form what the Messiah would do. In Isaiah 53:5, it says, the chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, listen, pay close attention here. By his scourging, we are healed. Now listen very closely. Isaiah is seeing this because God's revealing it to him hundreds of years before Jesus came. We are healed. Isaiah is seeing in eternity, outside of time. Not in the context of time. He's seeing in eternity that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the whole world. And by his scourging, we are healed now. In eternity, it's done. Like salvation is now. But by faith, you got to go apply it, obtain it. Now, quickly. So how do we practically apply this to our life? You have to believe that God's already provided the remedy. In the same way, you have to believe that Jesus has already died for your sins. In the same way, Jesus has already died. And by his scourging, he's already died so that, and obtained healing so you can obtain it. By faith, you have to believe that. Well, that just seems silly. I imagine it seems silly to the children of Israel in the wilderness, but many of them died. Well, that's just silly. Years later, the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2:24, and Peter was writing to people in the context of time. That's what we live in, a context of time. And he says, by his stripes you were healed. Isaiah saw eternity. We are healed. And in the context of time, we were healed. It's already happened. Are you with me, church? By his scourging. When Jesus was scourged, every hand that was laid upon him, every whip that was laid upon him, every punch that he received from a soldier, the crown of thorns upon his head, nothing was accidental. Nothing was coincidental. Every bruise had a purpose. This is God's son being treated like a criminal. Being treated like the worst of any kind. In fact, people thought he's done something really bad. He's cursed of God. Well, he did take the curse. By his stripes, he had stripes upon him from the scourging that went from the top of his head on his front of his body, down from the back of his head, down to his back of his calves and his feet. He looked striped like a zebra. His skin was ripped open in ribbons. And even in some places, you could probably see the bone. Bloody. Horrible. Worse than any movie or anything you've ever seen. People said you couldn't even recognize he was a human being. Bruised. Beaten. His beard plucked out. His face hidden, hit and bruising. Blue and blackness. Everything was accomplishing something that we couldn't accomplish. Everything. He was obtaining something His Bible says that Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross because of the joy. He was obtaining something that no one had ever been able or will ever be able to obtain. By stripes you were healed. Salvation and healing have already been obtained, but you've got to go by faith to the cross to get it. What about people who are not healed? I can't go through all that right now. We'll deal with some of that on Wednesday nights, but there's a lot of it I can't give you an answer for. I don't know. A lot of it I can't give you an answer for. But I am going to stand on the Word of God. You say, even if I don't understand it. In fact, you're standing on the Word of God or sitting on the Word of God right now. But when this foundation of this building was laid, the people here at that time went all over this building and on the walls and on the concrete underneath this car and wrote scriptures and wrote promises and declared things and stood on it and prayed over it. A Bible was actually poured into the foundation itself. So you're literally standing on the Word of God. You're literally sitting on the Word of God. This place is a place of promises that we intend to expect and believe that God will do everything He has promised us He will do. But are you expecting? It's all by grace. I don't claim to know anything. But Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And on that cross, by grace, you can be saved. Through faith. God's riches at Christ's expense. Jesus paid it all. Come on. All to Him I owe. He paid it all. 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 What can you add to that? All. Jesus paid it all. There's not one thing missing. Not just for the salvation of your sins being forgiven. How about the salvation of your body being healed? How about the salvation of your family being healed? How about the salvation of your mind being healed? How about the salvation of your finances being healed? Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Well, not everybody believes that. Many believers have a real hard time choking on that one because they've been on the milk for so long that when they're given that meat, they go, I can't deal with that. Get it out of my mouth. I'm not trying to insult you. We all have to grow and mature. But when you're given meat, you don't spit it out because you don't understand it. You take it and you chew on it and you chew on it and you talk to God about it and say, God, I don't understand. He says, I know you don't understand, but God, will you illumine me? Will you? He says, yeah, you keep chewing and I'll talk. You just keep chewing and I'll talk and I'll show you how this applies to your life. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We learned that as a child. But what can make me whole again? Same cure. Are you listening? The same thing. It's not different medicine. The same thing that washes away your sin is the same thing that makes you whole in your spirit and your soul and your body. And the only thing lacking, nothing on God's part, because it's already paid, already obtained, and it's sitting up here waiting for anybody who will have the faith of a child to say, well, I don't have a PhD, but I'm smart enough to know I'm not going to leave that one behind and come up here and take it by faith. He said, what if I come up there and I don't get healed? No, you are healed, but the manifestation is something you walk out. You walk it out by abiding, believing, confessing, abiding, believing, confessing. Remember, Abraham waited 25 years. In faith, he waited. Of course, he had a little detour with Ishmael. All right, let's stand to your feet. Thank you for your patience. And oh, God, now, what do you want to do? I've asked you all week. Now, this is the moment. I've come to this point, Lord, and I'm trusting that you want people to obtain what you've given. Altar workers, go ahead and get in place if you would. How shall we escape? Escape what? Escape destruction. Escape hell. Escape guilt and shame. Escape depression. Escape addiction. Escape sickness and healing in our body. Escape the lack of healing in our body. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I think what the Lord has done today with His Word, and He has prepared a beautiful banquet table here. There's every kind of meat you could imagine up here for whatever your need is. And by faith, you go and obtain it. Faith is not something you just believe, because faith without works is dead. Faith is not stagnant. Believing's not stagnant. Faith demands you do something. Faith requires, it's a verb that requires action. I don't just say I believe, but there's some sort of action that's required on my part to believe and receive what God says already yours. And I don't know what that is for you, but the Holy Spirit will prompt you. Somebody here today needs to be saved, born from above. You may be religious, but you're not saved. You may be a member of a church, you may have been a pastor, you may have been a deacon, may have done all this kind of stuff, been baptized, but you're not born from above. And you live without having peace in your heart with your Father, because He's not your Father until you've been born from above with His Spirit. And you need to be born again, sir, ma'am. And you need to throw aside your fear and all your religious thinking and receive Jesus Christ as the only Lord, only God, the only Savior the world will ever have.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.